Welcome to day 144 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I'm so glad you've joined me again today as we continue to walk on the path of the Word of God. Today we will read three Psalms of David, Psalm 108, Psalm 109, and Psalm 110. So beginning at Psalm 108 and reading from the New American Standard Bible this week, we will begin at verse 1. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing praises even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. And I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and answer me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exalt. I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my scepter, Moab is my washbasin bowl. Over Edom I shall throw my shoe, over Philistia I will shout aloud. Who will bring me into the besieged city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have not you yourself, O God, rejected us? And will you not go forth with our armies, O God? O give us help against the adversary. For deliverance by man is in vain. Through God we will do valiantly, and it is he who shall tread down our adversaries. Psalm 109. Vengeance invoked upon adversaries. For the choir director, a psalm of David. Verse 1. O God of my praise, do not be silent, for they have opened the wicked and deceitful mouth against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred, and fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they act as my accusers. But I am in prayer. Thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. And when he is judged, let him come forth guilty. And let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children wander about and beg, and let them seek sustenance far from their ruined homes. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder the product of his labor. Let there be none to extend loving kindness to him, nor any to be gracious to his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off. In a following generation, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and do not let the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off their memory from the earth. Because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted and needy man, and the despondent in heart, to put them to death. He also loved cursing, so it came to him. And he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing as with a garment, and it entered into his body like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him as a garment with which he covers himself, and for a belt with which he constantly girds himself. Let this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, and of those who speak evil against my soul. But you, O God, the Lord, deal kindly with me for your name's sake, because your loving kindness is good, Deliver me, for I am afflicted and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am passing like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like the locust. My knees are weak from fasting, and my flesh has grown lean without fatness. I also have become a reproach to them. When they see me, they wag their head. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your loving kindness, and let them know that this is your hand. You, Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, they shall be ashamed, but your servants shall be glad. Let my accusers be clothed with dishonor, and let them cover themselves with their own shame as with a robe. With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, and in the midst of many I will praise him. For he stands at the right hand of the needy to save him from those who judge his soul. Psalm 110. The Lord gives dominion to the king. A psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power, in holy array, from the womb of the dawn. Your youth are to you as the dew. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will shatter the chief men over a broad country. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he will lift up his head. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
As we begin today's devotional, I want to just give you a little bit of overview of the three Psalms that we just read. First of all, I want to comment that as we have been going through a lot of the different Psalms over the past few weeks, it's important to make the note that there are different types of Psalms. The book of Psalms is really a compilation of 150 Psalms put together by different authors, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they all had a different purpose. Many scholars have broken up the Psalms or into different types. There's Psalms of praise, which we heard one of them today, which was Psalm 108, which started out, my heart is steadfast, O God, I will sing praises even with my soul. So we see Psalms of praise like that one. There are Psalms of thanksgiving. And then there are Psalms that Bible scholars referred to as imprecatory psalms, and that's not a word that we use very often, but it essentially is a word that means to call down judgment upon, or to call down curses upon, or to call for calamity to come upon one's enemies, and especially the enemies of God, which is what we were seeing here in this Psalm 109. It basically calls for God to deal with David's enemies, those who have come against the purposes of God for which David and Israel stand. And so it calls for God to not forget the sin of his enemies and not to allow the enemy's children to be taken care of or for them to become orphaned and that sort of thing. And these are not psalms or even types of prayers that we're encouraged to pray in the New Testament, because we have been given an assignment by God to walk in love, to love our enemies. And so we don't see Jesus giving us this example of calling down curses upon the enemies. Even his enemies he forgave as he was dying on the cross. So though in the Old Testament we see this, and we see a pattern of it in the book of Psalms, a certain number of them, which are psalms that would fall into this category called imprecatory psalms. And then the last psalm that we read today, Psalm 110, is a messianic psalm. It's a psalm that has reference to the Messiah, to Jesus himself. And in fact, the first verse was, which is, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Those words were quoted by Jesus himself in three of the Gospels. We find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, then also quoted in the book of Acts and in the book of Hebrews. And all of those references were pointing to Jesus. In fact, Jesus was, in a sense, teasing the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, who felt they were so informed and scholarly about the meaning of the Hebrew scripture, the Torah that they had. They thought they were so learned and full of revelation about what God was saying in those scriptures. And yet, Jesus asked them this question, and he was stumping them and their theology by saying, "You know, David said, 'The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.'" And the scholars of Jesus' day knew that that was a reference to the Messiah. And so he asked them, "If David calls him Lord, how then is he David's son?" Because the other knowledge or understanding that they had was that the Messiah was going to come through the lineage of David, and so would be considered one of David's sons by genealogy. And so he stumped them with this question: if David in the Psalms calls the Messiah Lord, how then can he be his son? So Jesus was just, in a sense, teasing them and pointing out their lack of knowledge of the Word of God. So this specific psalm could be classified as a messianic psalm because it does point to the Lord. And then in verse 4 it says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Another reference to Jesus, which was quoted also in the book of Hebrews. So I just wanted to give you that overview of these three psalms, that they represent different types of psalms that we will come across as we continue to read through the book of Psalms. But there is a verse that I want to just comment on today that comes from Psalm 109, and right there in the middle, so to speak, of this imprecatory psalm, because it gives us some insight into spiritual matters. It basically, the scripture I want to reference today is from Psalm 109, verse 17, and it is where the psalmist is telling the Lord in the previous verses that he shouldn't bless his enemies. In fact, he should just let them receive their judgment. And he says in verse 17 about his enemy, "He also loved cursing, so it came to him. And he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him." I want to comment on that concept, that's presented to us here in verse 17. It says that the man, or the enemy that David is referring to, loved cursing, and it wasn't a reference to saying what we say in America, cuss words. It's not that, but it was the idea of speaking a curse over someone else, speaking evil of them, declaring that they'll only receive bad things in their life, cursing them to destruction, disaster, failure, lack of success, lack of their needs being met. So cursing him to fail in life, you could say. And it says that this person loved cursing other people. So it came to him. And the idea here, obviously, is the principle that we find in Galatians, and we will come to that in our reading this year, of course, in the chapter 6 of Galatians, talks about whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. That and that only will he reap. And so David had a revelation or an understanding about this spiritual reality. And he said, this enemy of mine, he loved cursing other people. He loved cursing me as a leader, as the king. And so it came to him. And then the second part of the verse 17 here in Psalm 109 says, and he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. So these two sentences in verse 17 of Psalm 109 give us a spiritual principle that's confirmed in the New Testament, that a person who speaks disaster, destruction, failure, curses over other people, says they're never going to make it, those people are only going to fail, that marriage is going to fail, that business is going to fail. Do you realize that when you say things like that about yourself, about your own life, or about other people, that you're in essence speaking a curse over whatever it is you're talking about, whether it's your business, whether it's your grades in school, whether it's your marriage or someone else's? You're speaking a curse. You are proclaiming disaster upon someone or something. And this person that the psalmist is describing said he loved to do that. It was common to him. It was something he practiced doing all the time, probably without thinking about it. Most people who fall into that habit pattern of communicating, of speaking this way, don't even realize what they're doing. And they don't realize that it has become a habit. They fall into this easily. You could say it's a sin that easily besets many people. And we live in a generation where people in the media curse people all the time. Oh, that's not going to work. That's going to fail. That business is going nowhere. That celebrity's going down. That soccer team, that football team, that sports team is on the way out. People are cursing people continuously. We hear it day and night. If you listen to the media, listen to the television or the movies, or read in the newspapers or on the internet, you may not realize it, but you're taking in curses that people have said about other people. And maybe you're doing it to yourself. Maybe you're speaking it over your own life or over your own family. He'll never stop drinking. Do you realize that is a curse? If you say that about someone who maybe you've watched struggle with alcohol for years, if you say that person will never stop drinking, they'll die an alcoholic, that those words are curses because you're condemning that person to a life of failure, that's a curse. And it is common that to our society today that many people speak curses day and night and don't even realize they're doing it. The psalmist here had a revelation about that, because it says this person he was talking about loved doing that, and therefore it came to him. Those curses, those failures, the things he spoke came upon his life. And then secondarily, It says that this individual did not delight in blessing. Do you realize you could use your tongue, your speech, this amazing gift of speech that God has given to us to bless people, to speak life, to speak success, to speak increase, to speak fruitfulness, to speak progress to someone's life, marriage, family, academic pursuits, business pursuits, health, finances. You could speak blessing. Few people make that their habit pattern of speech, and maybe rarely will say even an encouraging word to someone else. But you have the power God's given to us as human beings, this amazing power that is like God. In fact, we're the only creatures God created that have this magnificent gift. You know, every creature that has breath, all the creatures on the earth, among all of these created beings, we are the only ones, the human race, that has been given this ability to speak blessing or speak curses and speak life or speak death. And we have a choice every day to do one or the other. And many people have quite a mixture in their life. Many people, it's majority curses that they're speaking, sometimes over their own. So I'll never get anywhere. I'll never make it in life. I'll never have money. I'll always be in debt. Those are all curses. And instead, they should be speaking blessing. Blessing, like God would speak over your life. Like God would speak over your family. Like God would speak over your friends, over your church, over your pastor, over your business. God would speak blessing. That's the way God is. He wants us to choose that same style of communication and the power of the tongue and use it for the purpose of being a blessing. The problem is, if we have become acclimated to our culture that speaks cursing all the time, we end up with trouble in our life that we don't realize we planted the seed that brought the harvest that we're experiencing in our life. And this revelation here, that this person didn't delight in blessing, did not delight in doing that, so it was far from him. You know, if you bless people, somehow blessing is just attracted to you. If you curse people, I tell you, curses, failure, lack of success will be drawn to you, even though you weren't talking about yourself. But I tell you, God wants us to be a people who speak life and blessing. And that's the message that I want you to take from this psalm. This one verse in Psalm 109, verse 17, we want to be a person, we want to be a people that delight in blessing, and therefore it comes to us. That's what God wants for you, for your family. Teach your children to do that. Are you speaking a blessing? When you hear your children speak to one another, say, "Now, was that a blessing? Or did you just curse your brother by saying you're never going to understand math?" That's a curse. Refuse to accept that. If someone has said that over your life, say, "I refuse to agree with that. I do not accept that for my life. I choose blessing, and that's what I'm going to have in my life." Because that's God's plan. That's God's desire for you and for your family. So I want to encourage you to consider, as you go through your day to day, and evaluate what you say, how you say it, who you say it to. Is it about yourself, about others? Are you speaking life and blessing, or are you speaking death and a curse over your life, your circumstances, and the life and circumstances of other people? God wants you to be a vehicle and a vessel of life and blessing. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.